Good morning, good morning, good morning, all the good people of the world. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. This is Dr. Tim Garcia, Doctor of Chiropractic since 1990, and I am here on the Knowledge Station just to have a discussion, have a conversation, and take a look at, we're going to take a look at to see what's going on, to see if we could separate truth from myth. And and I'm here joined with my host, Dr. Ev Rich. So thank you for allowing me to have this platform. And here, you know, I'm all about talking about health, talking about how we can get better and how we can stay better. What are the natural factors we could do for ourselves to get healthy and remain healthy? As you know, there are three aspects to our health. One is physical, one is emotional, and the other is chemical. And what we want to do is to maximize each one of those three aspects of our lives so that we can get better and stay better. How are you today, Dr. Rich?
Wow.
Dr. Ev.
Thanks so much, Dr. Tim. It is always a pleasure just kind of be here with you each and every Friday, kind of sorting through things out. As you're saying, you know, we have to find our way of figuring out what's going on. And I am really, really so happy. And I'm sure our audience is really happy when you're on to kind of straighten things out a little bit. So I know you have vaccine on today. I mean, it's really exciting to see, you know, what you have to say about that.
Boy, that's a big can of worms there. And we are so indoctrinated. We are so under the influence of media, of social engineering, of listening to the so-called experts, but a lot of it is tricks. A lot of it is control. And so I like to get into it a little bit. I'm not going to shotgun it. I want to give you a little perspective of who I am and where I come from and how I came about to be who I am as the person and the doctor and just the person I am today, without all the gory details of my childhood. I was destined to be a doctor. My father was actually an administrator for community clinics, health clinics. So he was the administrator for health clinics, for medical clinics, and he hired medical doctors, and he actually built a prototypical community health center here in the United States for the underserved, for the migrants, and for the low-income folks. And so it was instilled in my person that, okay, you're going to be a doctor. Eventually, you know, a funny thing happened to me on the way to med school. I didn't quite make it. I was never really inspired by the medical profession. It sounded like a lofty goal. It sounded like a great career. I had some problems in my academic career, and when I straightened all those problems out, I decided, okay, well, this is the moment of truth. Am I going to go through medical school or am I going to go to chiropractic school? Medical school is extremely difficult to get in. It's extremely elitist and it's expensive. And I don't know that I had the personality to go through all that. Apart from that, the type of care they render and the type of philosophy they do, now that I know, looking at hindsight, I'm glad I got into chiropractic. Chiropractic traditionally in the United States had been frowned upon and looked down upon as a sham, as a lesser therapy for human health and healing. And that was the official narrative put forth by economic interests that wanted to control the pharmaceutical nature of all healthcare, medicine through pharmacy. So when I got through chiropractic school, I came out of school as a full-fledged doctor. Understand, I had 8 years of study, passed the national board and a state board to be able to treat and to be able to have my license to treat, you know, the public and treat people who are hurting. People don't understand that chiropractors are deemed as primary care physicians. No, we're not suturing. No, we're not doing things emergency-wise in medicine. Hats off to all the emergency trauma doctors in the United States, for they truly do save people's lives through modern medicine, modern technology. But medicine has what they call the mechanistic view, that we are just a machine with parts, and when the part goes bad, then you need to change that part, cut out that part. The parts are our organs. The parts are our failing systems. And so if you have a failing system, kidney, well, take out the kidney, or take out the appendix, or take out the thyroid or the tonsils, and just give chemicals, which is mechanically suppressing your body's response to disease, which are your symptoms. And so when the medication, the medical model, suppresses your symptoms through chemicals, well, you're not really improving the cause. You're not really taking care of the cause of your symptoms, of your ailment. And that is fundamentally flawed in the way health works, fundamentally flawed in the way our body grows and flourishes. We know that we are, as human beings, we are amazing. We are part of God's creation. We are points of consciousness that we flourish if we're allowed to. Our default state is health, creativity, and happiness and growth. That is our normal state, in the absence of interference, in the absence of toxicity, in the absence of any of those three factors we talked about, whatever impedes our physical health, our physical life, our chemical health and our chemical life, and our emotional. If those are all without big interference, we're going to be healthy. Our body knows how to heal itself. How does the body know how to, you know, our body's in a state of constant state of change and repair. For example, every 120 days, our red cells in our blood, they die. But they regenerate all by itself automatically. Normally, Dr. Rev, normally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Where does that come from? We have our own intelligence. We have our own ability to heal ourselves. Cut your hand a little bit, the skin heals. Clean it, put a Band-Aid on, and a week later, you're done. The body knows how to stay in balance if there's no interference, if there's no toxicity, or if there's no deficiency. We know that the one or number one and two killers in the United States are cancer and heart disease. Both of these are preventable through lifestyle and through nutrition. Chiropractic understands that the body is in a constant state of change and repair, but it can only do so if you have clear neurological channels from your brain through your spine to every organ, to every tissue, to every cell. That's why the spine is so important. The spine is like our tree of life. If we have misalignments or imbalances or fixated joints, a maladaptation in posture or movement, then you're not going to have the full integration from mental impulse, mental, cerebral, neurological impulse from your brain to your body and back again. All the body organs, all the cells, the cells work by signaling. The signaling is neurological in nature, which has a bioelectrical component. So that idea that we know that our body is in a constant state of change and repair, it knows how to repair itself, that is the vitalistic component that is just, it is, it's given, it's the truth. So now we have to understand truth from fiction. We have to understand what makes sense logically versus, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And we're going to get into that here. Because as I just said a moment ago, that giving your body a petrochemical agent, which is toxic, in the name of health is a fallacy, is a mistake. If it's going to save your life and that's the only remedy there is on a short-term basis to take medication, of course. However, how do people get so sick, Ev? How do people get in this jam? How are we so sick as a nation? This nation of the United States that spends more money on health care, spends more money on medication, yet we're one of the sickest around. Mm-hmm. Our infant mortality rate is not number one. We're down at 35 or 6 or 7 on the top 100 westernized country. A low mortality rate. Excuse me, a high mortality rate for infants, newborns. Why is that? So the health of this country is in question. I'm in California. In California, I get to see most people because the weather's fine and people are very into exercising and looking good. And so, but generally over the demographic in general over of the United States, there's an obesity epidemic. There are more kids sicker and sicker every year. Let's talk about the children. What's the number one killer of children now? You guys don't know? It's cancer.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'd have to check that. Accidents used to be accidents. I think it's cancer now. You guys can check that if you like. But problems indeed. So we are born into a culture where you have to be delivered by a doctor in the hospital. Traditionally, that would never happen. Traditionally, people were born at home. Traditionally, people were having a natural introduction to the world. They didn't cut the umbilical cord that's continuing to send blood supply and nutrients to the child for a time so that the child has a better a nutrient and oxygen supply in the first moments of life. And so I heard a gentleman talk about when they cut off the umbilical cord so fast, then they're robbing the child of oxygen to the brain, and that will decrease the intelligent quotient of that patient, of that child. Then what do they want to do? They want to vaccinate with Hib, Hep B, hepatitis B vaccine, first day of life. Hepatitis B, you understand, is a disease that you get through having intercourse or sharing needles, tainted needles, infected needles. Yet they're giving it to a newborn. Doesn't make sense. Why is that? It's money. So there's so much money in vaccines and there's so much control that it's an economic interest, and the health of the patient be damned at the expense of the health of the child and the health of the family, Because if you have a sick child in the family, it affects everybody. The pharmaceutical, petrochemical conglomerates, mafia, are trying to, they have such control and they're such intelligent, cunning people that they control the narrative. They control the airwaves. They control the messaging. They control what goes into your mind through the television, through the ads you see. I haven't seen television in a year or two. I do recall that there's more ads about pharmaceuticals, and they're conditioning the people that that's how you get better.
It's strange that you brought that up. I was looking at that myself, and nowadays you watch those ads and you go to your doctor. They tell you, talk to your doctor about this medicine. So sometimes the physician, and people don't know, sometimes the physician is not aware of certain drugs as yet. The patient or perceived patient knows about this meds, and then they go and talk their physician into giving them the meds. I just thought this was hilarious.
It is hilarious. Now they want the patients to self-prescribe, self-diagnose.
Exactly.
And a lot of people do that now with information online. There's a ton of information online, and a lot of people think that, okay, well, I have this disease or that disease. And, most doctors probably don't like it, you know, for a patient to tell them what to do So as I got out of school, being in a family that had my mother and father were very pro-medicine. They thought the medical people just knew everything. They were brilliant and they were unreproachable, and you do not question their ideas or their procedures. And so coming out of school in the beginning, it was like, well, you know, you feel like, okay, well, I did not have the luxury of being a chiropractic patient before I went into school, or having the full awareness of what chiropractic was about before I got into school. I knew many people get into chiropractic because they had miraculous care when they were dealing with their issues, so much so that it inspired them to go into chiropractic school and live that lifestyle and help other people. I did it as a career choice, and so I had to learn on the job. When you get out of school and you pass all the state boards and the national board, that's the minimum ticket to start your profession. That's the minimum requirement. And, you know, of course we're prepared. Of course it took a lot of study and everything. But when you're in the field and actually seeing patients and seeing healthcare, then you start to learn. You learn your own chops. You learn your own experience. You learn your own style. You have the experience of seeing these real-time live cases, and you see what's what. I had a bit of an inferiority complex coming out because knowing that people look down on chiropractic. They still do. Only 10% of the population thereabouts in the United States will avail themselves of chiropractic care. That means 90% of you guys in the general population will not even consider chiropractic care for any ailment. And so that is unfortunate. It's unfortunate because it's a natural therapy. It recognizes your body's own ability to heal itself. It we're the only ones trained in analyzing the spine and delivering what's called a spinal adjustment to allow the natural flow of your neurological impulse to free to go to your body and back again. These neurological impulses are intelligent. It tells your body how to function. And so when I got into chiropractic, the profession, I got out of school and I really didn't have any idea about making business, how to create a community, how to create my own tribe. And I figured it would take care of itself once I had the degree. How wrong I was, Dr. F. Mm-hmm. I got into the chiropractic profession and I didn't know which way to go. You try to look for a job and you know, medical doctors, it's institutionalized. There are large clinics. There are large hospitals. There are therapies and avenues where you could actually have a viable career, either consulting or treating or being part of a group or having another group. And people have the idea, well, the medical doctor knows best. Let me go see them, and it's all good, versus my own experience. And I can't speak to others because others had other experiences, but mine was a struggle because I was not aware of what I had to do and how to bring the concept out of chiropractic, the chiropractic magic, if you will, so that people will understand. So, you know, I started out with a chiropractor, and I was there 4 years and I just was stalling. I didn't know what I didn't know. So I left. When I left, I just went on a soul searching. And when I regrouped after a month or two, I went in and worked for another chiropractor. Long story short, I developed a chiropractic department in a community health center. And I was there for 15 years, and I was the only chiropractor in a multidisciplinary community clinic. And so I'm aware of what the conventional medical model has to offer, what they do for their patients, and the drug therapy model. If we are so sick as a nation, if we understand that the number three killer of Americans is medical care, that there's a big problem there. So little by little, I understood how chiropractic was helping folks where medicine was failing. Now, I see the future is going to be in self-care and natural therapies. That's the way it should be anyways. When people take responsibility for their own health, when people take responsibility for doing the things that they need to do, then you take your power back. Then you know that, gosh, there's things I can do to help me that I don't need to run to the doctor and have him tell me, take this pill or do this or do that. Because that's you're abdicating your power. You're giving it away. You're giving away your control and your power. And because people are scared, people don't know. People think, oh, I need better talk to the doctor because who knows if this ailment is going to kill me, or who knows if I – and so the medical doctors give this patient a pill, and the patient thinks they're going to die if they don't take the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they don't investigate, and they don't have enough confidence in their body's own regenerative power. Also, they don't bother to investigate about self-healing and self-therapies. That's changing. That is totally changing. For some of us, not for everybody. So there's still some people that think that the last word is with the medical provider. And so now that we talk about the things in medicine that has actually not really panned out to be true. As an example, let's just think about the medications that they took off the shelf because they were causing harm to people. They were causing harm to the regular folks that are already sick, the medical people say, take this pill. And then the next thing you know, the person's in a worse situation or even dead. Remember Fen-Phen?
Oh, yes.
Fen-Phen was a, I think, for weight loss.
Yeah.
And it was causing heart, I think, or something. Accutane for acne is another one, causing birth defects and miscarriages. A cholesterol one called Bakal was taken off. Bextra was also taken off. That was for pain relief, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. It was causing strokes and increased serious skin problems, and so it was taken off. Others like Vioxx. Remember Vioxx?
Yes.
Vioxx was taken off, and then now they've taken Darvon and Darvocet, which are the opioid analogs.
Oh, yeah.
Now we know there's a big crisis of overdose on the opioids, and that was actually over-prescribed by medical doctors, and they caused a big giant crisis. So these are just a few to mention. For us older folks, do you remember in the 50s it was the thalidomide?
Mm-hmm.
Thalidomide was, I don't know what they used it for, what the indication was, but babies were being born without arms and legs. And
exactly.
That's how strong these medications are. People think, you know, it's the wonder drugs, but for every effect that they're trying for, there's a lot of other effects. They try to call it side effects, but they are direct effects. And so, you know, you're on drugs.
The thing about this medication, you talk about side effects, then they give you another drug to so-called tend to these side effects. So you have one drug, the main drug, that is going to cause all of these side effects, and then you have to buy another drug to cure those side effects, and sometimes 2-3 other drugs to go with that. And do you think that these pharmaceutical companies not know the devastation that this is causing on people before they put out the product? But
no,
they would have made
not.
So much money on these drugs. So when a lawsuit comes about, the amount of money they'll pay out, they will be still making a ton of money on the harm they directly cause on folks.
That is exactly one of the points I wanted to make a little down the road. But yes, I think I have a figure here for you. Let me see if I can find it. One drug company spent billions of dollars on a fine, but it was the cost of doing business for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody went to jail. I can't find it right now, but it was one of the big drug manufacturers. And so, oh, here we go. The pharmaceutical group GlaxoSmithKline has been fined $3 billion after admitting to bribing doctors and encouraging the prescription of unsuitable antidepressants to children. I have some information on children here. You guys are going to be blown away. So, yeah, there's corruption. There's a lot of people in the FDA that supposedly is there for our safety. However, they have conflict of interest because they're also connected to the pharmaceuticals. And they call that the revolving door. You're in the FDA and you do a job and you're lenient towards the drug company. After you're done the FDA, you get a job at the drug company. So with the idea of knowing that to introduce a poison to the body for health reasons is a fallacy. And the same could be said for vaccines. In this time of COVID-19, and they're calling it COVID-1984 because they have us on lockdown. They have us on strict control. They want to restrict our movements. They don't want us to congregate, and it's a social control apparatus and technique. And so I was seeing somewhere where they were calling it COVID-1984 as a joke. It's not funny, but it's not funny. We know that we will stay healthy if we have a strong immune system. Let's talk about vaccines. So, a germ is in the air, a germ is somewhere we come in contact with, and we have natural barriers. If you're going to become infected, it's usually going to go, okay, what's our barrier? A is the skin. That's a barrier. Bacteria and viruses can't go through the skin. If you're going to get infected, they say it's going to go through the mucosa, your mouth, your nose lining, and your eye lining, your eye lid on the inside. That's mucosa. So your body comes in contact with a foreign substance, a pathogen. Your body's able to recognize it as not self, a foreign substance, toxic, and it will mobilize the cellular immune response with the macrophage and the white blood cells and the neutrophils and the B cells and the histamine. And these are all coursing through our body. And this is called the cellular response to your immune response. Then there is a humoral or a blood response, and your body manufactures antibodies against this pathogen. If it's a fungus, a bacteria, a spore, or a virus. Some people say viruses are not pathogens, that they're part of the body's immune system. They're cellular debris in forms of exosomes, and they're there to help repair the disease or the disease tissue. And so when doctors analyze a disease, they see these fragments of DNA or cells, and they identify it as a virus. That's just another idea that's out there. I'm just putting it out to there. I'm really not sure exactly on that. The proponents of this theory are saying that's what it is. And then other people are saying, how do you explain the Epstein-Barr virus or the AIDS virus or the herpes virus? So that is all up to me in my mind for a study and research. So the body comes in contact with the virus. It hits our skin, no problem, it doesn't penetrate. If it hits our mucosa, then we have two forms of immunology, and one is the cellular immune to the white blood cells, et cetera, and then the other one is the humoral or the blood response that our body makes antibodies so we can attack the germ. Okay, all well and good. Vaccines, however, have an idea which is pretty sound if you introduce a pathogen into the body. The body should be able to set up a reaction to an antibody to combat the germ that's being introduced. But understand that now that the body has not had a chance to recognize it in its normal way through the mucosa, through understanding that to set up antibodies or to drive the your cellular response, and now you're short-circuiting the immune response. You're having this virus or pathogen injected straight into the body. But it's not just that. There's so many things that are related or ingredients in a vaccine. Ingredients that we should not have in our body. in stuff like aluminum, stuff like aborted fetal cells, peanut oil, which helps. What's called it? They call it an excipient. There are so many things in the vaccine that the body really shouldn't be having. And when a body has ingredients that shouldn't be in there that are toxic, then you're going to have a reaction. I'm going to have to take a break. Please take over for a minute. I apologize. I'm back. Are you there? Okay. So what's in a vaccine? You guys want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if I can pull this up. Well, aluminum and formaldehyde, MSG, E. coli, and more animal protein.
Formaldehyde.
DNA. Yes, I will refer
and barman
you to
fluid.
What? Yeah, this is a website called learntherisk.org. This is a it's an activist website about bringing awareness to the people about the risks of vaccines. So aluminum is known to cause brain damage at all doses, linked to Alzheimer's disease, dementia, seizures, autoimmune issues, SIDS, and cancer. This toxin accumulates in the brain and causes more damage with each dose. There's also human and animal cells, human DNA from aborted babies, pig blood, horse blood, rabbit brains, dog kidneys, cow hearts, monkey kidneys, chick embryos, calf, etc., sheep blood. And these are linked to childhood leukemia and diabetes. There's formaldehyde, there's mercury, there's monosodium glutamate, there's beta-propylactone, which is a known cancer causes cancer, genetically modified yeast and bacteria, viral DNA, dairy egg components, neomycin sulfate, which is an antibiotic, phenol, uses antifreeze, phenoxyethylene. There's latex, as rubber can cause light-threatening allergies, glutaraldehyde, that and more, polysorbate, peanut and soybean oils. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in there that we shouldn't have. There's a lot of stuff that is introduced to our children. Now, look, understand, most of these are given to children. Here's the thing. As a baby's born and the baby is not fully developed all the way, still got a lot of growing to do, the nervous system is not fully developed till up to 6 years. A pediatrician told me that up to 6 years old. We know that the immune system is so integrally connected to the nervous system. The immune system is run by the nervous system. So if the nervous system is not fully developed, how is it going to be able to handle an immune onslaught like this? And the answer is, it's not. There's going to be problems. We know that 1 in 6 people, children now, have learning disabilities. 1 in 6. My sister is a retired special needs teacher. Now more and more money has to be allocated for the learning challenged, the learning disabled, I guess they call it. One in 30-something children are autistic. And these are the risk factors of vaccines. Autism, epilepsy, learning disorders, ADD, ADHD, autoimmune disease, asthma, diabetes, SIDS. These are increasing every year, and the vaccine schedule is increasing every year as well. So we understand that there's corruption at high levels. We understand that the medical people have a monopoly, have the messaging, have a lot of people hypnotized or controlled. And a lot of people do not even consider the natural therapies as a first defense to all our ills. They call the standard American diet SAD, right? The SAD diet, because it's full of fast food, full of trans fats, sugar, oils, sodium, GMO, heavy metals, pesticides, antibiotics, hormones. And so there is a lot to be said about trusting the official narrative. Health Freedom News says there's four historical health lies the public needs to stop spreading as fact. Number one, vaccines are safe and effective. They are not. There's a brand new breaking news we're going to talk about in a minute. Fluoride in tap water is good for your teeth. You can smell the chlorine chemicals in tap water when in the kitchen sometimes. Sometimes it's stronger than others. And water plants with tap water, it'll wither and our crops, our soil. You know that white stuff that we have and crumbly is it's all these that the water brings. These are all chemicals that cause cancer, dementia, brittle bones, arthritis. Remember that. Fluoride is not good for teeth. It's an ignorant myth. Historical line number three, milk builds strong bones. So nearly all milk sold in the United States is cooked, dead, processed, ruining the nutrient content and adulterating the vitamin D. That's what happens when you pasteurize and homogenize the milk. Meanwhile, it kills all the nutrients. Cows are artificially inseminated and suffer other infections. So they're treated with drugs. And it's not good. It's not good for us. And then historical line number four, there's no cure for cancer. And so going back to all the therapies.
But Doc, it's kind of cliche what I'm going to say. We send people to moon. We do all of these so-called, quote-unquote, great things. And the thing is cancer, so many different kind of cancers that we have floating around. So many billions of dollars are poured into research. And still we have no way of finding a cure for cancer. Do we really, really, really want to cure cancer? Or is it certainly more profitable to put a Band-Aid over the problems so the money can keep pouring into I can't even find the word because it's going to be emotional describing it like that. But do really pharmaceutical company, isn't their best interest to cure cancer?
Absolutely not. Cancer is is curable. But people believe the oncologist and their medical doctor. These industries that are part of the centralized scientific community are part of the status quo, part of the academics and the military-industrial complex for control. If there's something that's going to be introduced that's going to upset the status quo, then it is relegated to the periphery. Dr. Deepak Chopra said more people live off of cancer than die of cancer.
Absolutely.
They give drugs that are exceedingly dangerous, exceedingly toxic, and in the attempt to kill the cancer cells at the same time they're killing your good cells. And there is a thing called SV40, simian virus number 40, that they actually put, and simian has to do with apes and monkeys. And so there it was put in the vaccines back in the 60s. And so that was one of the reasons they theorize is why a lot of people are having cancer now. So the vaccines are they're showing little by little their stronghold is starting to crack, especially behind mothers and fathers seeing their child being injured after a vaccine, and the medical people are saying, no, it's not the vaccine. No, it's a normal reaction. No, so the child has something else. And that's all bullshit. That has to end. This has to do with the health of our children, the health of our society. The powers that be want everybody sick and to die because they have an idea that there's too many people in the world, because they want to control us and they don't want us to be healthy and flourish and creative and together. So they have divisions. They have the Republicans versus the Democrats. They have the whites versus the blacks, or the browns versus the who knows. But it's divide and conquer. It's one of the oldest strategies there is. And so let's wake up, everybody. I'm not standing up for this anymore. And it's my job to sit and here to tell you guys. Here's a breaking article. This is a vaccine update. This is written by Mark Anthony Boyer. He says the government funding was pulled from the Gates Foundation, the World Health Organization, and the CDC. The U.S. government lost a landmark vaccine lawsuit. It goes on to say that vaccine injury lawyer Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Del Bigtree, the producer of suppressed vaccine documentary called Vaxxed, and the Informed Consent Action Network are credited with his victory. Before I go on, a lot of people think that people who do not want a vaccine for their child because they are pro-health and they are being careful, and then they slam the person has this idea as an anti-vax, and they think we're criminal, and they think that we should go to jail or something. That is one brainwashed individual that has these ideas. They don't have the benefit of being on the inside. They don't have the benefit of 30 years of research and looking at the thing. It's my job to look at this. I was looked at when I got out of school. I was looked at as an alternative, and so I looked into the things that made sense to me, that resonates with me as truth, and I bring that out to you. And I've seen stuff that works for me that would seem alternative for others, and so this is truth to me. Now, this vaccine injury lawyer, well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right, they demanded the relevant government documents providing that all the federally approved vaccines had to been tested for quality over the past 32 years, and there were none, zero, zilch, nada. There are no tests for the safety of vaccines. Not only that, that's for one vaccine. Then they combine the vaccines together. Oh, your child needs to catch up on his or her vaccines. We're going to double up or triple up or quadruple or quintuple. And then they put all of them in one shot and they deliver it. And there's problems, big problems. You're lucky if you don't get sick on that one. Sleeping for 2 days, rash, high scream, wailing and screaming, high pitched screaming, failure to latch on, failure to develop, what they call regression of normal development, like looking at your mom or dad, self-stimulation, when they start flapping or bumping their head against the wall. These are implications of brain injury. We'll get back to that in a minute. So since there's no federally approved quality studies for vaccines, then there's huge legal and practical implications for the victory of the American people. This means that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and all vaccine makers have been deceiving the American public for over 30 years about the effectiveness and safety of vaccines. This may ultimately mean that the continuing existence, at least in their current form, of five U.S. healthcare, quote unquote, agency is now in doubt. The CDC, the FDA, the IOM, the NIH, and the health part of DHHS. So the CDC is the Center for Disease Control. The Food and Drug Administration, the IOM, is the Office of, I don't know what that is, of Medicine. NIH, the National Institute of Health, and then, of course, the Department of Health and Human Services. This may also threaten the existence of state medical boards and exclusive medical guilds like the AMA. A medical guild. It's a trade organization having to do with the industry, not curing people, but controlling market share. So this means that vaccine makers have been fraudulently exempt from what all other pharmaceutical drug makers have been forced to do concerning biannual certification for quality and effectiveness. It means their vaccines have never been tested for quality and have no proven safety or effectiveness for over 30 years. By the way, the Section 13 of the insert of the vaccine says that they've never been tested for carcinogenicity, for mutagenicity, or for impairment of fertility. Carcinogenicity, as you know, is cancer-causing. Mutagenicity talks about, it means it mutates. It'll mutate your cells. And then, of course, problems with fertility, which means it's a sterilization agent. These have not been tested. In 1986, there were so many problems with the people getting sick with the vaccines that the government actually made the vaccine industry was absolved from any liability. You cannot sue the insurance company. The vaccine companies for injury to your child or yourself. Did you know that, Ev?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I heard that.
So that there is actually a different court set up by the government when there is a VAERS, which is a Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Most of them go unreported. In fact, in 2011, the Supreme Court of the United States deemed vaccines as unavoidably unsafe. Check it out. It's there. For anybody who's interested, there is a series. It's a free series for now. I think it's a 7-part series. It's called The Truth About Vaccines. I think it's 2020 on there. Look on YouTube or look on Facebook, and you're getting the information from straight from the mouths of these practitioners, and it talks about all the problems with the vaccines. It talks about the corruption in the industry. There was a Dr. Wakefield who brought information to the public about the MMR, how it has a strong link between autism, how they, you know, a lot of autistic kids, that there's high MMR components in the gut. He got blackballed. He got railroaded out of the business. His name's Andrew Wakefield. There's another guy named Dr. Thompson, I think it's William Thompson, who actually worked for the FDA, falsified the risks of some of these trials, and now he's remorseful. He knows that he did the wrong thing. He's trying to make it right. He's a whistleblower now. These things are starting to come out, and there's cracks in their armor right now. 80% of autistics have gut issues, and so that's how you detox an autistic kid. So there's hope. We'll get that at in a minute. But so we know that these safety tests have not been conducted for these vaccines. So this case now being legally cited by all parents, fraudulently mandated by government organization regulation requirements that they must vaccinate their child for school or any other activity to stop the forced vaccination of their children. Let me see. Make sense? I'm reading again. Sorry.
The other thing is, Doc, I know we have just a few minutes left. We are at a point now, and I think this is something we really should get back into on one of the other shows. We are at the point now racing for this other big push. How are we going to escape this one? Because not only children are going to be forced, adults are going to have to be forced to take this vaccine. What is really going to happen to us at that point?
Well, that's why we're talking about this now. I'm giving you the information. Understand that any vaccine that they come out with is not going to be good for us. Mm-hmm. There's other things that they talk about. Maybe there's a chip in there. What this article is saying, that the government has pulled the funding from the Gates Foundation. Gates is actually pushing for these vaccines. So hopefully with any momentum, we'll get them to stop all that. The Gates Foundation also funds the World Health Organization. We spoke last time how Gates went to India with his vaccine, and he ended up paralyzing 490,000 kids.
Oh,
he also
gosh.
Went into Africa and sterilized a lot of people over there. All the sham, all the corruption. Look what the Clinton Foundation did to Haiti. We know about that, don't we? Okay, so now that we know that this case can now be legally cited by all the parents that are mandated, that we can now be citing this case and say that we're not going for it. So the future of allopathic medicine in its current form is now in doubt, like I was telling you, and the global pharmaceutical cartel, since almost all the drugs allopathic practitioners prescribe come from pharmaceutical corporations that have also committed vaccine fraud. That is hope for us, that we can start getting the truth out, that we're seeing now that the government is admitting that there is no safety studies on these vaccines. And so now what do? You're vaccine injured. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you, people, whoever cares, whoever's listening, that there are things you can do. I'm going to give you a step-by-step detox protocol, and that you can do. And this is what I've learned. I've taken some courses on healing from vaccines. When you get autism spectrum disorder, and so some of these symptoms I was telling you about manifest, but the experts are seeing it as a brain injury, because these toxic elements go to the brain and they cause inflammation, and so you want to knock that down. 80% of autistic kids have gut issues. So you want to repair the gut, and you find a detox product for the gut. I go through a company called Metagenics. You have to be a practitioner, but they have an ultra clear product that you give to the kids, and it helps them detox their pathways and heal their gut. Liquid D3 is also good. That's vitamin D3 for children, that DHA is an essential fatty acid that you want to give your children. You want to give them probiotics, and there's a product called Cyto Detox. That's how you detox your child. You get them off wheat, you get them off dairy, and people improve. I've interviewed doctors that are doing it, and a doctor that is doing it, and he's getting results. All his and he's a chiropractor. So a lot of chiropractors not just focus on the spine, which is great, but we also have a focus on the chemical aspect and emotional aspect. So that is basically what I wanted to tell you guys today. If there's any call-ins, or if there's any questions, now's the time to do it. I'll invite any of the listeners to
talk
to us.
Let me get some question out of the room here. Doc, if your child is allergic to, like, eggs, and most of these vaccines use eggs as a means of carrier, how do I get them not to give my child the vaccine? Thanks so much for that question, Jamie.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one for you.
But what I understand is that if one patient is has a reaction to vaccines, then you indicate to the pediatrician or medical doctor that he's had a reaction to the vaccine. The problem with that is they'll say, well, which vaccine? And they just won't give them that one, and they'll give them the other ones. So you really should try to refuse any of them and ask them what the liability is or what the risks are for your child to have further damage, and are they willing to take the responsibility for any damage, further damage to that child. And if they say no, then you politely refuse their services. Eggs. So now he's allergic to eggs, or she's allergic to eggs. So you want to – that is a good point, because these vaccines can cause food allergies. The food allergies is you want to identify them by what's called an elimination diet. So you want to go on a very bland diet. You want to eliminate what you might think is causing the reaction. Once you understand, in your case, you understand it's eggs, then you want to actually clean the gut out by what I just talked about. Get a detox protocol going with a detoxing supplement, liquid D3, DHA, which is essential fatty acid, a probiotic, and a Cyto Detox. These will help reestablish the gut, and then once that heals, the child should be able to tolerate eggs again. Other than that, you have to stand for your rights and stand your ground and refuse further vaccination for your child, because it's going to cause potentially bigger problems in the future.
Cicely, she's asking, you mentioned a lot about mercury and other heavy metals. How do you detox from heavy metals?
As you know, mercury is a very neurotoxic metal, aluminum and others. There's a product called Cyto Detox. There's a whole protocol behind it, but there is chelating agents like zeolite and clay products that help bind. The thing is, you want to be able to pass the blood-brain barrier, and with this product I have, it's called Cytotox. That's what they're using. Distilled water is another thing, distillation, that there's no charge on it, and so it's able to – what they talk about, the detraction for distilled water is that it strips your metals and your minerals. And that's a good thing when you want to detox, because we're all toxic with heavy metals anyway. So get on a distilled water program and look up chelating, natural chelating agents. One of them is zeolite.
Okay. Want to welcome joy, fun, happiness in the room. Welcome, and all of you guys over here on the room. I hadn't talked to you. Joanna Natatoff. Want to bring up Mr. Green also. All of you here hanging in this side of the fence. Just one more question, Doc. I'm not sure who this name is. Francisco. He's saying amalgam. How toxic is amalgam? And do you remove amalgam now that we know, or we've read that it's toxic? How do you get that out of your system as one of those heavy metal that's supposed to cause cancer?
That is a very good question. Thank you for reminding me. Amalgams are 50% mercury. There is what they call off-gassing of the mercury from your amalgams in your teeth, and so you want to get those out. There's a special way to do it. You have to look for a holistic dentist, because when they drill that stuff out and take it out of you, then the mercury is going to go in the air and going to breathe it in, and the doctor is too. And so there is a special way of doing it. Look for a holistic doctor that knows how to take amalgams out. The mercury in the amalgams will cause brain toxicity. It's a neurotoxin, and it can cause a lot of degeneration of your brain, problems in the future, and it's no good. Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for asking.
Wow. Well, Doc, I mean, it is that time. Just give us something to keep us for the week. Anything special that you want to leave us with today?
If anybody wants to contact us, we're at this is Dr. Tim Garcia. We're Garcia Chiropractic and Wellness. My phone, 805-488-3090. Email garciachiro@hotmail.com. Whoever decides to email, please leave a specific question or a subject line. Otherwise, it will be spam. We will not respond. Garcia Chiro, GARCIA, CHIRO at Hotmail. Other than that, please take my message as something from my heart. I'm trying to help out. I want to spread awareness and bring the true information to everybody so that we can make the proper decisions as the time arises, because there's a lot of confusion out there. And there's a lot of trickery out there and corruption. And so we can see past the deceit, then we can make the right decisions for ourselves and your family. So have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next time.